You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
The book of Job, spelled like Job, Job tonight. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn to chapter 28. Isaiah, way back there, you're so faithful, I appreciate you. I don't know if anybody really knows you. Sitting right in front of Brother Miller there. Isaiah's a good man, Brother Miller. Good to see you and your wife in church tonight. And Brother John, did Juan and Monica make it over there tonight? Are they in that area tonight? That's okay. They're coming. I think he rode the bus years ago, you said. And they might be upstairs. I'm not sure. I want to ask, I don't like doing this, but I'm going to ask the ladies. I think it's too cold. I know this morning it was because you let me know afterwards. I'm scanning the crowd down below. I think maybe in the underneath the balcony it's okay, but if two ladies, just go ahead and raise your hand if it's too cold over here. Too cold over here. One. Over here. No. Two. All right. You're not going to win this election this way. Three. We're getting one out. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Nobody's cold over here. Just hard hearts. Is that it? How about the balcony? I don't think we're going to change it for seven. If you're sitting next to a man, they have him throw his Armstrong heater next to you. If it's not your husband, don't do that. But men, get real close to your wife. Girls, if you don't have a husband, then find one. And I know you're 13 now. You ought to start looking real soon here, get you married off. I'm sorry if it is cold, but we'll sell blankets or bring blankets, I guess. Job 28, I want to say it was last Monday morning. Could have been the week before. I've been studying Job in my personal Bible time. And it's such a great book. I should have known this, but about maybe 10 years ago, Dr. Larry Brown was preaching here. And he said, by the way, the book of Job, it's just 1 year. The trial was just 1 year. Well, Dr. Nikolai, I never knew that before. And I should have known that. I should have been a Bible student. But it's just a year battle, but oh, what a year. And I don't know what you've gone through in 2024. That's sad or negative or really joyous and good. Some of it might be both, but God's always faithful. Yeah. I was reading Job 28 and I discovered something for myself that I'm going to take you through. It's going to sound boring, I hope. I don't hope it will, but it may sound boring at first because I want you to see the verses. But then we're going to come back and we'll pull those verses together. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray that what you showed me in this chapter would open all of our eyes to something that's, I missed it all these years. I've read this book so many times. Somehow I missed this thought. And it's become to the forefront of my mind. And I pray that we'd learn something from this tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe I learned something from this psalm because of elementary chapel. Right now, we're studying rocks in the Bible. Brother Reimers has done something so awesome. He has a tackle box for all the children. And every week, whatever the Bible rock is, the rock in the Bible, he brings that rock for us, and they put it in their tackle box. So in about 39 weeks of school, they should have about 39 rocks. He's also right now, and believe it or not, it's a costly project. He is building us the 12 stones of the foundation, the book of Revelation. I want you to see what the foundation looks like, and I want those children to think that you really don't. Who puts beautiful things in a foundation? But our God does. And so wonderful. And we're studying so many things that we learn about rocks. The rock last week, the sapphire, is known for loyalty. And that's what, when you give that, it's a gift of loyalty. And how loyalty is so important. There's so many things that we've studied about rocks, but I say that not thinking about when I was reading this, but I saw the word vain. In verse number one, you see it. Surely there is a vein. I believe I've read that for all my life, and I've never pondered that. And because I'm in the rock study, well, I know what a vein is. It's where you find something, and then you get, it's a mine, and then you mine in that area, and you mine for whatever it is, whatever stone, whatever rock, and they slice them all around the world, and they slice granite. You've seen the granite slabs. And that's what a vein is, a place where you'll discover silver, or you'll discover gold, or you'll discover something. And so I began to ponder that, Brother Everett, and just that vein, and how that, I've been studying since last April for the rocks for this year for these kids, and all summer, and I got a binder that's so very thick, and we've had folks helping me. Reimers has helped me so much, and Mrs. Sarabia has helped me, and we always have pictures up, and Brother Fanera puts the pictures up, and we get to see, and the kids are awesome. They're, and it's just great to watch them, listen to all, and to hear them say things about it. But that vein, you discover so many things in that vein. And so we see in verse number one, it's something's hidden here. Surely there's a vein. Look at the first one, silver and gold. Where they find it, where they try to mine it out of there and take it out of it. But there's something, God is showing us there's something in underneath the ground, underneath the surface. Look what he says, and if you'll please try your best, I hope it doesn't become boring. Verse 2, iron. So far we've seen what? Silver and now what? Iron and brass and so we've looked at brass with the kids, and brass is manufactured, and they melt it down. And we our doorknobs are made, and our hinges are made out of brass. And the brass instruments that the 10 trumpets down here were playing this morning, this evening, and the brass. And so what we've seen in this vein, what number under the ground? What? Silver and gold and iron and brass and stone. And he setteth an end to the darkness. He used that word again in verse number, because it's buried, it's in darkness. And he searcheth out the perfection, stones of darkness, they're hid. And the shadow of death, you have to dig to find these rocks. And when you find those rocks, oh my goodness, the colors we have discovered in element, the beautiful greens and the yellows, and the reds and the onyx stones and the black stones and the marble stones and the swirls. Well, we saw one rock where all the veins in the rock, they match one another. They just, if this one turns, then the next one, and they all turn together. And it shows how we have to work together, the coach and the player, the husband and the wife, the pastor and the people, the mother and the dad, the children and the parents. And they have that stone, and I hope in the years to follow, some will probably throw it away, but I hope one day these little kids could go to their children and say, we remember this one. See how those lines move together? It's an amazing, God created all this, but it's all buried. If he buried this beautiful stuff and we mine it out, we put it on our counters and we put it on our floors and we put it, and this is a cursed earth. Just think how beautiful heaven must be. But he doesn't stop there. He talks about the flood breaking out from the inhabitant and the waters forgotten of the foot. Brother McMahon, you are going to teach me something in the near future. He is an expert in water engineering for our valley here, and he understands the water table and the water basin. You confused me so much. We were talking the other day, and I was trying to stay up with you about how much water is underneath it. And you remember that conversation a couple weeks ago? And I thought, this man is smart. I never thought he was that smart, but I just look at the guy. I've always thought he was smart, but just so brilliant. And they understand what's in the Silicon Valley underneath here. And there's water that's running underneath here. And I'm looking at you to make sure I'm saying, they measure that. And they try to figure out where it's at and how much is there. I need to talk to you. I'd love to just sit down and have you. I'll be quiet. I'll listen. At least as long as you teach me. Now, some of you folks know those things, but there's some of us don't know very much. And so it's talking about underneath the water that breaketh out, bubbles up, and the earth. He's talking about this dirt. Out of it cometh bread, food. You're doing so well. It has to be boring. I hope not, but it won't be much longer. Bread, we get wheat and we get the thing, and you plant the seed and it comes up out, and then he talks about under it turneth up as it were fire. You know, underneath here there's water. You know, underneath in this earth there's fire. There's water, there's fire, and that's why. That's what happened here. Is that me? That's why when you go to Hawaii or somewhere, you'll see the volcano and the active volcanoes, and the up in Washington, the Mount Helena or Helen, whatever it was, that erupted years ago, because underneath there it's burning fire, and underneath there's water, and God's trying to. I was thinking, what is God trying to tell me? You don't write about stones and silver and gold and fire and water and bread coming out of the ground. You don't write in brass. You don't write about iron. You don't write about all that under here. What's God saying? I'm trying to figure this out, Brother Chris Morris. I'm trying to figure out, what is he saying to me? Well, look what he says. The stones of it are the place of sapphire. We studied sapphire with the kids. Oh. Sapphire is beautiful, but you have to mine it. You have to get out of the vein. And the dust of gold, there's a path which no, now it goes us above. He goes above. And I saw this, so I saw, okay, we're down in the earth, down under the earth. Now he said, above the path, no fowl, vulture hath not seen. He said, I want to leave the stones and the silver and the gold and the iron and the sapphire. Now let's go up here, the vultures. God never makes a mistake how he writes his Bible. But I was trying to figure out, what's he trying to tell me? And then he talks about the lion. So we're up above the dirt now. And the whelps have not trodden on, the fierce pass by. And he putteth forth his hand upon the rock. We see that. And overturneth the mountains. And so now we're talking about, and I got thinking about these 2,500 feet hills over here, these mountains over here, 4,500 feet. And then he talks about verse 10, he cutteth out rivers. Well, that's, we see that. It's above, among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. God's eye, wait, that's not where we're going yet, but God sees in the mines, in the rocks, in the silver, and the gold, and the iron, and the sapphire, and God sees all that under there, and he sees all this around. What is he trying to tell me? Verse number 13. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is found in the land of the living. Now I'm getting confused. Now what is he talking about? The depth saith, it is not in me. The sea saith, it is not in me. It cannot be gotten for a gold. Whatever he's trying to teach us, you can't use sapphire to pay for it. Whatever he's trying to teach me, gold is not sufficient to get what I need. And the silver and the gold and the depth, verse 14, the depth said, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it's not in me. And it cannot be gotten for gold, verse 15. And the silver shall be weighed for the price thereof. And it cannot be valued with gold or ophrah or the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold, the crystal cannot equal to it. And the exchange shall not for the jewels of gold. No coral or pearls. This week is pearl for the young people. For the price of this wisdom of rubies for topaz, it's not equal. He goes on and speaks in verse number 25, to make weight of the winds. Now he's talking about the wind, and weigheth the waters by measure. He talks about verse 26, lightnings and thunders. But you can't buy it. What in the world is he talking about? Well, three times in this text, he tells us what he's talking about. No sapphire, no gold, no silver can buy it, but you need it. and I need it. What do we need? Well, he tells us three times. Verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found? Do you know, Brother Bill Langston, he's saying you can't find it in the rocks, and you can't find it in the vein where there's, imagine the great time, the 1840s and 50s, when they struck gold in California. You imagine if we had a gold mine here? Brother Wayne, I don't appreciate you sitting there tonight. You are out of place. What are you doing right there on the 1, 2, 3, 4? Revival is breaking loose. I'm looking for you. You sit right there. I mean, if the rapture was coming, God knows where you sit. And you're sitting down. Oh, things are looking up tonight. Brother Wayne's down front tonight. Woo-hoo! You have messed me up, my brother. I thought, who is that? Who is that real good-looking man down there? Then I put my glasses on, and he's still good-looking. God's saying, you go ahead and mine for all these things, you're not going to be able to buy it because it's wisdom. Look at that. Read verse 12 with me. Ready? Begin. But where shall wisdom be found? Well, look at verse 18. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. No mention shall be made. Well, would you read verse number 28, the last time about wisdom? Ready? Begin. You know, I want to have wisdom. So if one of you in the tech mark could make a lot of money on the stock market, and we'll go down to the store together so we can buy some wisdom. You might have a gold mine, but your gold and my gold could never satisfy to get wisdom. God's word, Proverbs 4 says, is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all that are getting, get it. Wisdom is discernment. I need this week discernment. I need to know when to close my mouth. And I need to know when to open my mouth. I need discernment. I need discernment. I need discernment. I ask God when I get in my car, I could go this way. I could go this way. What way do you want me to go? I want discernment. I want discernment to know how to talk to my children and their mates and our grandchildren. I need discernment. God silences my mouth so often. There's some things I've been wanting to tell you for weeks, for months. And it just seems like God says, don't say it now. And it's nothing wrong or nothing bad or nothing good or just something I want to say to you. But I don't feel like God is allowing me to say it now. And it's like, well, what is it? Is revival break? I'd tell you those. I don't know. But God's going to let me know. But I need to have discernment when to say things. In marriage, you need discernment with your mate. With your children, you need discernment. Everything can't be yes, 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 yes. Everything can't be no, 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 no. There's a fine line. There's discernment here. And discernment needs to be obtained by all of us. I cannot pastor this church without wisdom. I cannot be a husband without wisdom. A father, a father-in-law, a grandfather. I can't be a pastor to the staff, or I can't care for people like I should unless I have wisdom. It's the principal thing. You cannot go to work tomorrow without wisdom. Amen. You must have wisdom. Amen. In all you're getting, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. Well, verse number 28 says of this wisdom, we found we can't buy it, we can't give pearls for it, we can't give silver for it, we can't give gold for it, we cannot get iron for it, we cannot have the fire underneath us or the water underneath us get it for us, or the mountains we search for it, we cannot get it. Where can we find wisdom? Well, look what this says, verse 28, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. When I fear God, and believe it or not, I'm almost done. When I fear God, doesn't mean I'm biting my nails off. I'm so afraid. Oh, I wonder if God's going to crash my car because I'm such a bad person. God doesn't deal with us like that, friend. The fear of the Lord, that's not that I'm supposed to have anxiety over who God is and how he hates me. He loves me. I don't know why God would love me. I fail him so much, but he loves me. But I have to have the fear of the Lord. My father-in-law was a great godly man, pastor of the same church 57 years. And he was here in I believe it was what we called a Grace Bible Conference for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He taught on grace. One year he came and taught on Ephesians. One year he came and he taught these different books to us. Such a great Bible scholar. He dug things out of that scripture that was just amazing how he could do it. And one day after the meeting that was going on Thursday, I was driving down to Fresno to preach a meeting that, and he goes, I'd like to go with you. I said, man, it's about 3.5 hours. He goes, I'd like to go. I said, I'm coming home that same night. He goes, I'd like to go. And I'll never forget that day. He never would speak about his first wife. His first wife died at age 45, left 8 kids. And the youngest was 6, and then an 8-year-old, and then about a 10 or 11, and a 12 or 13. My wife came home from college and helped care for those kids, and Gail, her sister-in-law, began to work with them. And my father-in-law, after about a year or two or so, 3, 2.5 or whatever, he fell in love with a lady in the church. Her husband had died of cancer. His wife died of cancer. And they got married. But he never talked about his wife from the pulpit before. Earlier, he'd say some things about her. Her name was Gerald Lynn. They call her Jerry, my wife's mother. You know, we don't have any videos of her. It wasn't video cam. We don't have. She died 1970, so that's 54 years ago, October 4th. We have no videos. We have one picture. We don't have any pictures. My wife has her Bible. Her mother's Bible, a Bible and one picture, that's all we have. We had her rings, and everybody knows I'm in church, and my wife's in church on Sunday night, and our house has been broken in a few times. It's always on Sunday night when we're here. One night we got home, and my wife said to me, she said, Jack, I don't know why she feels like she can call me by my first name. I would think Pastor or Dr. Treber or Father or something, but Anthony, she just called me by my first name. And she said, Jack, come here. And I got to the kitchen. She said, let's get out of here. And we walked out. She said, somebody was in the house. And I heard the back door shutting. And when the police arrived, they went into the room there, the bedroom, and they took the pillowcase off the pillow and began to load things up. We've never had silver or gold or riches, but she had her mother's rings. And they took them that night. And it was just really disappointing for something that sacred to be taken out of your house. You know, I was driving with my father-in-law, and I said, do you feel comfortable if I ask you some questions about your first wife? He said, I do. You can talk to me. And he talked to me that day about his first wife. I said, you know, I sang in your church, and I was... The church, the parsonage where you lived was 25 feet away. I could have seen her had I known she was going to be my mother-in-law. I never knew that. I could have gone over and had prayer with her. I could have talked to her about Cindy, your daughter. But I just never knew that. I said, tell me about her. And we talked about her. And it was a one-time deal. I also remember saying, I'm having a little Bible problem with myself. I don't understand the fear of the Lord. This had to be 40 years ago. I said, I just don't understand the fear of the Lord. I know it means I'm not supposed to be, you know, shaking in my boots, scared to death. Well, I said, son, it's just in the Bible what the fear of the Lord is. I said, well, where? You poor people, what you've had to put up with. And he gave me this reference, and I'll read it with you and we'll close. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter number 8, please. Because as you turn to Proverbs chapter 8, my Bible says in Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I have to have the fear of the Lord. I cannot dig in a vein. I cannot bring rocks and stones and gold and silver to get it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And thus, the Bible says, I'll understand and do His commandments. When we don't do the commandments of God, it's because we don't fear God. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But look at chapter 8, verse 13. Chapter 8 and verse 13. Let's read it together. We're almost done. Ready? Begin. The fear of the Lord is to... When he quoted that verse for me and gave me that verse, you know that already. But for some reason, I did not wrap my mind around it. And it became so clear to me on, we were driving on Highway 99 that goes north and south in California. As I read that, the fear of the Lord is to hate what? If I'm going to have evil, if I'm going to have the wisdom, I have to have the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is that I hate evil. I won't get wisdom when I like to play around with evil. Look what else he said. Pride. Pride, where I boast of myself or think that I have more rights or you ought to treat me better or wife, you ought to be nicer to me or children, you ought to obey me better or church family, you ought to be nicer to me. That's pride. And he goes even deeper, arrogancy. That is not just to think about pride, but then to exalt or lift yourself up. I'm above all you people. It's really difficult for a pastor who pastors his church to think he's smarter than you, because I serve in the brain power capital of the world. This is the smartest area in the world. The computer, the health, all the health programs we have here, and the research that we have going on, and the things that you are so brilliant. I wouldn't have any idea. Yeah, that's why you have to teach me about this water basin underneath here. Some of us are slow. And yet God says, Jack, if you don't hate evil, and if you have pride in your heart, my way, I got to do it my way, or you have arrogance, you boast yourself above thinking I'm better than the next guy. And he says, in addition to that, the evil way, he brings it up again. God hates evil, and the forward mouth, a crooked mouth. It's not straight. You're not a straight shooter. God says, I hate that. If we had time, I'd go to James 1. Well, I will. I'll say, James, God says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. But in chapter 3, he gives earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And heavenly wisdom is that I'm going to be kind to people. And if I'm not kind to people, it shows that I'm working on my earthly wisdom, my smarts, what I think. And the problem is, if we're not careful, we think we can be arrogant and proud and self-willed and not humble ourselves. And we think perhaps we can live on the edge and be evil and live for evil or flesh. God says, I hate it. I can't give you wisdom. You Bible college students, you need wisdom so much right now, because you're going to fall in love with the right girl or the wrong girl. And you're going to fall in love with the right guy or the wrong guy. And that's going to be the father of your children, the mother of your children. You have to have wisdom. This is a decision. Brother Skirty, that decision, Marge, that decision is way beyond these kids. You don't know how to make that decision. But with wisdom, God will help you. You don't know, college students that are here tonight, you're right on the verge of graduating. You're a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. In 1, 2, 3, 4 years, you'll be graduating. What's God trying to tell you what to do? The mission field? The pastorate? An associate pastor? What's God trying to tell you to do? Well, I just think I like this. No, that's not how you find the will of God. You're going to have to get some wisdom. That's why I love talking to God's people. Yeah, each of you have wisdom. Amazing wisdom. Your wife has wisdom. Fellas, listen to her. Look, she openeth mouth with wisdom, Proverbs 31. And if we're not careful, we don't gather wisdom for the Word of God and for the people of God, and we just do what we think is the best. I lost my job. Okay, here's what I think I'm going to do. But is that wisdom? And maybe it is. Is it wisdom? Well, I think I can do this and I can live an easier life. But is that wisdom? It might be the right thing, but is it wisdom? Well, I think my wife said I don't treat the children fairly. I favor this one over this one. Well, you better listen to your wife, because that's wisdom when you listen to your wife. It's arrogance. You say, well, she's dumb. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's a woman. That's foolishness. And tonight, simply this, where can we find wisdom? That's what chapter 28 is all about. Where can I find it? Under the ground, above the ground, up in the sky, where do you find it? He closes the last verse with, you get it through the fear of the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.